Maurice Blumberg is the executive director of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, and he is my guest this morning via telephone on Catholic Forum. Good morning, Maurice. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, and happy Father's Day to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you on the program today, and we're going to be talking about Catholic men and fathers and about your organization, the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. For those of our listeners who might not be familiar with the NFCM, what is it? What is the Federation or the Fellowship?
Well, we're actually a network of Catholic men's fellowships from across the country, and the brainchild for it actually came from, interestingly enough, our bishops.
Hmm.
A group of them met in 1998. They then put out a report called Catholic Men's Ministries in June or July of 1999. And I wanted to just read one thing from their report, which is very stirring. This is what they said in the report. From Los Angeles to Chicago, from Manchester to Miami, there's a growing hunger for God among Catholic men. They are meeting together in large and small groups, sharing their burdens, listening to each other's story, and celebrating Eucharist. Call it a revival, an awakening. Call it a work of the Holy Spirit at the grassroots level. The emergence of new ministries with men is a welcome development in the church.
Hmm.
And that's a great word. It's a welcome development. And how often have we heard Catholics use terms like revival, an awakening?
Yeah.
We almost think of those as Protestant terms. But what they're saying is God is moving among Catholic men. And out of those meetings came the real belief that we needed a national organization that was spiritually oriented, based on reaching Catholic men for Christ and getting them into small groups to share their faith with one another, to pray for one another, support one another. And it was decided that we'd form a group called the National Resource Center for Catholic Men. We since have changed our name to the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, and I was hired as the executive director in 2001 and been an explosive growth ever since. In 2002, our first full year, we had 16 conferences. Last year, we had 40. This year, we expect to have 45 conferences, and we're talking from San Diego all the way up to New England with 5,000 or more men at some of the conferences. We've had as many as 10,000 men at a Cincinnati conference. We had 5,200 men at a conference in Boston. We had 3,500 men at a conference in Detroit. So men are being touched. They're coming to conferences. They're hearing dynamic talks about their faith. They're forming small parish-based men's groups. I would say we support several thousand all across the country. But our goal is simple. We want Catholic men's conferences in every diocese throughout the United States, and we want men in small parish-based men's groups in every one of the 19,000 churches. And that's our goal. And our vision is very simple. We see Catholic men linked as brothers in Christ and called to share his love with others.
Wow. So your organization is a federation of groups across the country.
Yes, and it's a decentralized federation. It's interesting. Many people are familiar with Promise Keepers, which was very centralized. They had a strong centralized staff of, I think, 100 or more people, and they pushed things down, and they ran the conferences, and they did all the work from the central office.
Right.
We really are decentralized. We support regional Catholic men's fellowships all across the country with their own leadership teams, and they are the ones that put on the conferences with our support, work with the parishes in their dioceses, again with our support, to help train men and lead men into men's groups. But we've got a large group of Catholic men's fellowship organizations all across the country with great leadership teams that we support.
Well, Maurice, for our listeners who might not be familiar with a men's gathering, a conference on a regional or a local diocesan level, what are some of the things that take place at a conference such as that?
Typically, there's two versions, you could say. There's the half-day version and the full-day conference, which is the most popular. Typically, the men would meet in the morning, 8:30 or 9, start off with a little bit of music and then some prayer, and then had a couple of talks by some men, great speakers. Jesse Romero has spoken Scott Hahn has spoken at them. Father Carapi has spoken. We have great speakers, Deacon Alex Jones, excellent speakers, Peter Herbeck. They'll speak. Then there's often at lunch break confessions for the men. There may be an hour and a half to 2 hour lunch break to allow the men to go to confessions, and there may be 40 or 50 priests there. And it's amazing the feedback we get from the priest on the kinds of confessions they hear when the men have been inspired and encouraged by some very good talks.
Mm-hmm.
Then after lunch, there may be another couple of talks, and generally we'll end the day with Mass. We almost always get the local bishop or archbishop or cardinal to close the day at 3 or 4 o'clock with a nice Mass and homily by the local bishop. And then the men are sent forth. The men are sent forth, but the men are also encouraged, usually through a sign-up, if they're interested in becoming part of a parish men's group, to let us know, and someone will contact them and help them become a participant in a men's group. Very great talks. We generally record the talks and provide them on websites. If somebody goes out to my website, which is www.catholicmensresources.org, they can click on one for Detroit or Cincinnati, which actually have recordings of their talks from the conferences, and listen to them online.
Yeah, speaking of your website, you have a lot of information, a lot of different information and ways to help men on your website. Talk a little bit about some of the other things that you do, either through your website or through other means to help men.
Well, we have a lot of books and resources, Bible studies that are available. It's interesting, again, when I started in 1991, we had almost nothing available for men. There were very few books or Bible studies that were geared towards men, a lot towards more couples or females, but not much for men. And now we have over 35 of them available on our website. But in addition, we also have an online Catholic Men's e-zine. It's an e-magazine that's free with articles for men. We do a reflection on the Sunday Mass readings, and then questions for men to discuss the Sunday readings. And I would guess we've got 2,000 or 3,000 groups that are coming to our website each week to print out the reflection on the Sunday Mass reading and the discussion questions, and use them in their men's groups.
Hmm.
And many are using the articles in our Catholic Men's e-zine. The e-zine for the current issue, which I just put out this past week, is called "What Is a Real Man, a Holy Man, a Man of God?" So, which is 6 different articles on those themes: 2 on what is a real man, a couple on what does it mean to be holy, and a couple on what is it mean to be a man of God. And those are also being used by small groups. And again, they can print them directly from our website and just use them in their men's group. So they can purchase resources or use these free resources. And we're getting great reports from around the country. Tens of thousands of men are just being impacted by not only our resources, but just the conferences. And I'll give you an example of what I'm hearing from the men, and it's really touching to me. Here's what men are telling me is happening through the conferences and the men's group. They're saying men are making personal commitments to Jesus Christ. They're telling me that men are praying more and reading scriptures more. Men are supporting other men, and as a result, they're faith life is being deepened. I'm told that marriage and family life is being strengthened. What's also great is they're more active in the parish life, and they're more active in their workplace, and they're more active in evangelism, especially of other men. And that's great news. I mean, that's terrific news.
Oh, absolutely. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest on this Father's Day morning is Maurice Blumberg, the executive director of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. Maurice, has the role of fathers changed over the years, and especially the role of Catholic fathers? What is your take on that?
Well, I'll tell you what is saddening, I think, for all of us, is that we're seeing that there are less and less men attending church.
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent survey in 2002 that said at a typical Catholic church, 65% are females, 35% male. And we say, well, I'll bet our Protestant churches are doing much better. But they're not either. 64% are female in most Protestant churches. And the role of the father and the husband in a family is so critical to the health of the family. And if they're just not participating, especially in the spiritual life, it has a great impact on the family. I give you another. I hate to throw out just statistics to you, Bob, but there was an intriguing Swiss study in 1994 that listed these stats, which almost blow you away. If a mother and father attend services together, 33% of the children will keep up that practice and continue to come to church and come to Mass. If the mother only is a dedicated church goer, but the father is not, then 2% keep up the practice after they leave home.
What was that percentage again?
2%.
Just 2%?
33%.
Wow.
Now, here's the interesting stat, and don't ask me why this stat is true. But if it's just the father worshiping, he's a strong worshiper, dedicated churchgoer, and the mother is not, 44% keep up the practice.
Wow.
no one can explain that anomaly, but nonetheless, it still shows the importance of a father that prays, a father that goes to church, a father that's a spiritual leader of and head of his family. And the other interesting thing is that if the father is a dedicated worshiper and churchgoer, it's associated that there's a higher educational attainment by the children.
Huh.
So the father has a great impact on the life of the family. And if he's passive and not involved in the worship of the family, it has a great impact. And of course, we have to ask the question: Why is the feminine presence in the church increasing and the masculine presence decreasing?
Yeah.
And people have come up with lots of answers to it. One is that maybe it's perceived, maybe it's actual, but it's the feminization of the church. The music is, the preaching may be more appealing to women than to men. Men like a muscular Christianity, you know, a call to arms, a call to service, a call to battle, and if they're not hearing that in church, they may not be responding.
Huh. That's interesting. Now, Maurice, how can our listeners get more information, maybe find out if there's going to be a conference in their area or just learn about resources that are available to Catholic men, or to find out more about the kind of things that we've been talking about this morning?
Well, the best bet is to come to our website. As I mentioned earlier, it's www.CatholicMensResources.org. We have a list of all the conferences. We've already conducted 34 conferences so far this year. We'll have another 6 to 10 more before the end of the year. There's also a list of, they can look at where the different fellowships are across the country, the different Catholic Men's Fellowships, the list of the resources. They can click on to listen to some talks from conferences. They can look at our Catholic Men's e-zine. First thing they should do is register. Just come to the website, register, and that'll give you access to all the different services of our website. They'll see lots of good articles, lots of good material for Catholic men, all oriented towards Catholic men.
Wow. Now, in the last minute or two that we have left this morning, Maurice, if you were talking to a man, let's say Catholic or Protestant, maybe feeling a little bit alienated from his church, feeling a little left out, but yet desiring to come back, what advice would you give him?
Well, I'm kind of prejudiced in this, Bob, but I think it'd be great if he could link up with some other men in the church. He would form a band of brothers with some other men and just get to know them, start coming back to church. If it doesn't exist in his church, then help to form a men's ministry. If there aren't small men's groups in his church, form one. Don't sit back and say, we don't have it, so I guess I can't do it. But,
right. But
take an active role in helping to form small groups in the church. Or just give me a call. I know I'm going to perhaps get a lot of calls, but I invite people to send me an email or call. If we have a lot of good material on our website on how to start a men's group, how to have a successful one, and what's the first step in starting a men's ministry in a parish. We have a simple three-step process that the men, we recommend for the men. So all those are available. And just take advantage of the resources that we have on our website, and I think that's a good first step.
And that's www.catholicmensresources.org, right?
.org, right.
Thanks. Maurice Blumberg, the Executive Director of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. Thanks for being with us today on Catholic Forum, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you, Bob, and I really enjoyed speaking with you. Thanks.